The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hey, this is Kim Smeltzer, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast in my home north of Seattle in Stanwood, Washington.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 334 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today. And with me on the show, as always, is my co-host, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
I'm great. Congratulations on your good run today.
Yeah, fastest run I've had for that distance in about 4 years, so I'm feeling like maybe I'm doing the right thing for a change. So we'll see what happens.
Good.
I'm feeling good.
Ready for a shout-out before our special guest?
As always.
So, Suzanne Ward-Dush finished her first marathon last Sunday. So, that's an amazing accomplishment. Congratulations, Suzanne. That's awesome. Big shout-out to you.
Congratulations. On our show today, Michelle, before we even get to the announcements, do we want to make any... Before we get to our special guest... Do we have anything we'd want to say to our listeners?
Well, we do have our party coming up, our dessert party coming up. That's going to be during the weekend, Saturday of race weekend. Saturday or Sunday?
I believe it's Sunday night.
Sunday, okay. Yeah, we should know that since we should be there. And you're going to put the link in the show notes?
As always.
I think we have about 60 people coming right now. So.
So the question I have, and I was thinking this today, Michelle, are we going to have a cutoff date?
Yes, it will probably be about right at the end of December.
So that link will be in the show notes, Michelle. And for those who have never been to a dessert party, it's so nice because you can relax, you can talk with folks, and you can watch illuminations with your friends and talk about your bling. So that's coming up.
Yeah, that's really fun. I really enjoy that. It's a nice way to celebrate after the marathon.
We're excited, as always, when we have this guest on our show. He has been very gracious with his time in the past. He's helped me. He's helped Michelle. He's helped a lot of, you just don't know how many people that this gentleman has helped get fit and run, and specifically run without getting injured. Our special guest is the official Run Disney training consultant. He is a former Olympian. He has helped many people with his run, walk, run method of running. And he's also a very good friend of ours. We're happy once again to bring on to the show to answer our listener questions, the one, the only, Jeff Galloway. Welcome back to the show, Jeff.
It is great to be here, Mike and Michelle.
It's been a while. We saw you at the Wine and Dine, and we're looking forward to seeing you in January.
What a great outing we had there along Epcot Lake. I really appreciated getting to see the folks there and being part of your team.
Oh, that was really nice of you and Barb to come to the dessert party. We actually wanted you to relax, and you were very busy talking to everybody, and they loved it. So it was really kind of you. Thank you so much. And also thank you for your shout out when Mike asked you a question on the when you were doing your presentation. That was really nice.
Well, you guys do a wonderful job, and you have established a real online community, and I want to congratulate you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, we all love the same thing, running and Disney, so.
Yes.
Jeff, before we get started, there's an event coming up fairly soon.
Yes, this coming weekend, the 12th and the 13th, we have the Barb Galloway 3.1 and the Jeff Galloway 13.1 in Atlanta, and it is going to be really a neat weekend. My Two of my best friends are going to be with me this weekend, and that is Ambie Burfoot, who was my roommate in college and later became editor-in-chief of Runner's World magazine for over 20 years, and then Bill Rogers, who was also with us at Wesleyan back in the 60s. If you can remember that far back. Of course, a lot of listeners weren't even born then, but it was a wonderful time for running, and we're going to have a number of sessions where we talk about past, present, and future of running. And all of us will have some really interesting ideas, and there'll be lots of times to meet and greet because our event is not a crowded event. The expo is not crowded. It's a chance where you can go and walk right up to one of us and talk. And it's a beautiful course. We also have a virtual version of it. And you can win our beautiful medal and T-shirt by doing another 13.1 or 3.1 throughout this year and send the results in, and you will win the virtual.
Yeah, and it's quite a medal because you already actually showed me a sample and gave me a sample of the medal, and it is really stunning. Yes, it's really, really stunning. So now I need to earn the medal.
Well, absolutely. And a lot of people are doing the virtual and using that as an incentive to get out and get in a run that's 13.1 miles or longer, maybe in preparation for another event. But I'm very glad to hear that the virtual has been very motivating for people with their training.
And we want to mention to everyone listening that if they want more information, they can go to jeffgalloway131.com and find all about Barbara's race and Jeff's race and learn more about the virtual racing.
And for those in the Atlanta area, we not only have Barb's 3.1 on Saturday, but we have a new series of kids events, various ages. And the events are free. We want to promote kids' fitness, and we have a nice medal for the kids that finish the events. So bring your kiddos.
Free. That is awesome. Free. It's like unheard of. It's wonderful. That's so cool. That's great.
Okay. Are you ready, Mr. Galloway, for the questions?
Mike, I'm always ready.
All right, we're going to let Michelle start us off.
All right, so the first question is from our friend Pam Putterfrost, and she says, I need advice. My last long run was the Marine Corps Marathon on October 25th. Since then, my longer run was this past weekend, 10.25 miles. This is my second Dopey Challenge, and I'm not worried about the first three races. I'm more concerned about the last. What do you suggest for my weeks leading up for mileage to be able to survive the last 26.2?
Well, I can identify with that. As a matter of fact, Barbara and I ran the Marine Corps, and we did not have, it was an unusual situation. We didn't have a marathon scheduled the month of November, and so therefore we went out and did a moderate long run of 3 hours today. But what I recommend is what we are going to do on the 17th through the 20th of December. So that's 3 weeks before the big Dopey weekend. You will do the lead up, the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday, the lead up to the long run on Sunday. Now, the key to both the Dopey training and Dopey weekend, as well as those who are doing Goofy, is to mostly walk the Saturday. And feel free, and I would strongly recommend, since your longest has only been 10 and a half miles since Marine Corps, that you walk the 10 to 12 miler on that Saturday, the 19th, and then on Sunday, the 20th, would be the last long run. Now, there are a couple of ways of doing that, and because you are only at around 10 and a half right now, it would be a good idea to mostly walk at least the first half of a 23 mile or so. If you go 23 miles, even walking the whole thing, you're going to have 23 miles of endurance, and that'll serve you really well, of course, 3 weeks after you do that. So, again, on the 17th, run around a 3-miler on the 18th, go about 5 miles running and walking. On the 19th of December, walk for 10 to 12 miles. And then on Sunday, go 23 miles, and you can either walk the whole thing, or you can walk half of it, or you can alternate walking 1 mile and then doing a 10-second 30 or a 15-second run, 30-second walk, and just alternate that way. The bottom line is you're going to get the same endurance, so don't bash yourself. Get out there and have fun.
So, Jeff, it sounds like you're trying to achieve two objectives here. Number one, build the endurance while at the same time making sure you have some energy in reserve so that you can complete your goal. Is that correct?
Mike, that is excellent analysis, and that is the key. The biggest mistake that I hear Disney folks making, especially Goofy or Dopey, is the runner will get behind in the schedule, as is the case here, and then suddenly decide, well, I'm going to pick it right back up, and I'm going to just do what's on the schedule. Well, if you run too much when you do that, you're going to have problems, and the walking is going to give you the same endurance. So back off, do more walking. Now, the other issue, which was not brought up in our question, is concern for the balloon ladies. And if you have any concern that you might get swept the 16-minute per mile pace, then it would be a good idea to have on 1 day a week a run that would build up to about 7 or 8 miles. And you would practice running faster than 16-minute per mile pace. And the ratios that have worked best have been run 10 seconds, walk 30, or run 15 seconds and walk 30.
I know we have so many questions. I have another follow-up, too. Do you and Barbara ever get behind in your training? It seems like you're always training.
Well, in this particular case, we were going to run the long one this weekend, but we made a command decision this morning that we would rather wait until after our race that's coming up for a lot of obvious reasons. And so we got in a really nice 3-hour endurance run on the Pine Straw Trails at our beach retreat area and had a ball. And we will come back again on the weekend of the 17th through the 20th and do the training leading up to, in our case, we're going to try to hit a 26-miler 3 weeks before the Dopey weekend.
Mm-hmm. I think it's good for people to hear that even Jeff and Barbara Galloway can't always do their training. I mean, there are things that come up. You might get ill. There might be holidays. There's always, you do the best you can, and then you pick it right up. That's the important thing.
And there's almost always a fix or a way to solve a problem like that.
All right, Jeff, this next question involves the Boston Marathon. It's from Alberto Chanillo, and he says, how do you qualify for Boston using the run-walk-run method? He says, I believe Jeff did this before.
Yes, and I hear from several hundred people every year that could not qualify for Boston by running nonstop, but when they did the right run-walk-run, they qualified, and it's very common because in numerous surveys going back 35 years, we have found that the average improvement when a nonstop runner does the right run-walk-run in a marathon, they run over 13 minutes faster by run-walk-run. It's because your legs have resiliency. They don't slow down, and in a lot of cases, they speed up, and it's just very important if you're on the edge for qualifying for Boston, that you keep those legs resilient. Now, the configurations for Run, Walk, Run, you will find the latest ones on our website, jeffgalloway.com. It depends on pace per mile. And yes, I did qualify for Boston 2 years ago, last weekend, actually. And I ran for 30 seconds and walked for 15. And I had experimented with a whole lot of configurations and just found that that, for me, at that period of my life, was the right configuration. And it worked.
That's great. The next question is from Elaine Edwards, and she says, Jeff, I'm trying to run all three races at Princess Weekend. However, I've been sidelined with pneumonia. What's going to be the best way to get back on track while recovering from pneumonia? Thank you for your help.
Well, that is a very complex issue because, first of all, I'm not a doctor, so I am not going to give medical advice. So you really need to talk to your doctor about the issues with pneumonia. That said, I have worked with a lot of people who are coming back from pneumonia. And because that is a lung disease, it's not anything you want to mess with. An infection in the lungs, if you push yourself too hard running-wise, can pass into the heart and cause serious and permanent damage. Including death, and you know my stance against death. I am
no
against
death.
Yeah. And so the issue is staying in touch with your doctor, making sure that everything's okay in that regard. Now, all that said, walking is usually allowed. So the idea for Princess being, I guess, about 8, 9, or 10 weeks away right now, would be every other week. You would increase a long walk. And at first, concentrate on just the weekend long one, only one. But because you're doing three races, if the infection has cleared the lungs and the doctor is given okay to do long walks and then some running within about 3 weeks, that's enough time to prepare for all three races. At the front end, as I mentioned earlier in the program, it's really best to do mostly walking when you're coming back. So even when you're doing the short workouts, start back by walking. And pretty soon, most runners are able to get back into a run-walk-run for the two shorter runs. But don't be bashful about doing the long walks on the weekend every other week. You count back 2 weeks from Princess Weekend. That would be the last long run weekend. And then 2 weeks before that, it would be the second one. And if you'll just follow the schedule that I did on the Run Disney website, you should be able to catch up with mostly walking at this point.
It can take a really long time for those respiratory things to settle down. And do you think endurance is one of the big things that you're working on after coming back like that?
It is, because if you push the amount of running too soon with the lingering comeback of the lungs, it even when the infection has gone, the lungs are not really ready to exert at a high level. And if you try to run too much, you'll be shut down. The good news is that walking is going to give you all the endurance that you would get from running. So for the first 5-6 weeks, you really want to mostly walk those long ones.
Very, very interesting answer. Here is the next question, Jeff. It comes from Tracy Chernick. Tracy says, Jeff, I am training for the LA Marathon. I had a wonderful European vacation. I ran in Paris and Rome, but slowed down training while doing the transatlantic cruise. What I didn't count on was getting sick with bronchitis a week after getting back. I was training with the LA Roadrunners doing a 2/1 interval. Should I forego the group and decrease my interval or work on joining the group once recovered? My background, I have done 15 halves. I have been a walker. Until now, I have never done a full. This is my third attempt. I have not made it past 17 miles training due to injuries in the past. Thank you, Jeff.
This comes right after another lung infection question, so I'm already warmed up for that. And again, you don't want to challenge a lung infection. You want to make sure that it's out of the system. But if the doctor okays long walks, then that would be the first step. So count back from the LA Marathon and 2 or 3 weeks before schedule the last long one, and then 2 weeks before that the next to last one, and so forth. With mostly walking, you should be able to build that endurance back as long as the lungs have indeed healed up. But again, for medical issues, you need to talk to your doctor about that. Now, all of that said, since there are relatively few weeks left, since LA has moved up into late February, it is a very good idea to mostly walk all of the long ones. So I would not go with the group. I would mostly walk that distance. But on your short runs, as you build back the running and walking, I certainly would recommend starting with something like 10 seconds run and 30 seconds walk. And then after a week or two, you'll probably be able to move up to 15 seconds run and 30 seconds walk. And then a week or two later, try equal amounts, 15-15 or 20-20 or 30-30, although the 15-15 and 20-20 have actually been more successful for those that are coming back from lung infections.
All right. Okay, the next one is from Savannah Crocana, and she says, hi, Jeff and Michelle and Mike. I'm coming back to running after a year off due to an endocrine disorder. I'm finally back to run, walk, run with up to 9 miles. In the past running life, I did marathons and ultras. I'm having issues getting back to my old pace. How long will it take for my speed to come back? I'm doing magic miles and the speed work in your half training plan, but not making much progress. Thanks for all you do.
Well, Savannah, again, this is another very complex issue with an endocrine problem, and there's no way I can tell you how fast you're going to come back. Most people that I have worked with who have had similar issues have made it back, but some of them took 6 months, some of them took 2 years. Most of the folks are right around the 4 to 6 month time frame, but there's just a whole lot of variations. The point is, don't rush it, because if you'd really try to push the envelope too much, you can have other situations that could occur, and you certainly don't want to relapse into that area. As I've suggested with some of the other questions, it's going to be better to do mostly walking on the long runs. That's going to give you all the endurance, and it should allow for quick recovery. And then you can work on your speed on the other days. But even when working on speed, if you do speed work that is really too arduous for you, you can lower your immune response. And so it's always better during that first six-month period as you make your return to be on the conservative side. And your body's going to heal if you let it. So let it.
Yeah, that's very good. Very good advice, Jeff. I think you're going to enjoy this next question. It comes from Emma Godbold, and Emma says, I have set up an informal running group using the Galloway method here in the United Kingdom. The run, walk, run method is not used very much in the United Kingdom, and I want to spread the word. I love seeing people actually start to enjoy running when I show them the Galloway methods. My first question is, how do I register this group as an official Galloway group? And my second question is, how do you overcome the peer pressure to keep running, especially at the start of the race when everyone is running and your interval timer goes off for a walk break? Everyone looks at you like you're struggling or something is wrong. Thanks for everything you do, Jeff.
Well, Emma, there are several questions, and I'll try to remember to get to all of them here. First, you wanted to know how to become an official Galloway Training Program group, and if you'll get in touch with Chris, and Chris's email address is real simple. It's chris@jeffgalloway.com, and he can tell you how to do that. We have already started working on a group in the London area, and we've gotten interest from a couple of other areas just during the last year. So it's very possible that you'll have several programs to bounce off of as you get started. So get in touch with Chris. Now, the peer pressure at the beginning of races is something that we all have to deal with. And you have to realize that we have two brain components, the human brain and the monkey brain. The monkey brain is the ancient subconscious brain that has thousands of pre-programmed learning behavior patterns embedded in it. And when we start to run, the usual way that the human organism defers is to the monkey brain, to allow it to govern our running so that the human conscious brain can be ready to solve problems should problems arise. Well, if the monkey brain's in charge, then it's going to go back to some of the early learned behavior patterns that you did when you were a kid at school, and everybody takes off at recess or in a race, and everybody just runs until they poop out. And obviously that is not what you want, but it certainly runs contrary to our concept. The best way to solve that problem is to have a good timer. We have a timer that we call the Little Green Coach, because it's green, on our website, that beeps and vibrates and tells you when to run, when to walk, and you become like Pavlov's dog when you use one of these things. It really does work. But if you get a timer that's loud enough to hear it, then you will tend to adhere to that. Then secondly, have a buddy to run with who is going to follow the program too. And you always want to move over to the side of the road, one side or the other, before taking a walk break. And the timer has another great function in a race, because if you set it for a 5-beep countdown, then once it starts to count down 5 beeps, you yell to the people around you, "I'm walking in 5, I'm walking in 4, and so forth, and you move over to the side of the road waving your hand like a madman. And people around you, once you get a couple of these 5 count beeps going, they're going to get out of your way the next time you do it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was in England, in Surrey, England, last fall, Jeff, and I was talking to a friend who had run the London Marathon, and I was telling him about your method, and he just said, I just can't believe it. He said, "You don't run the whole way?" And I said, "No, and I'm injury-free." And I didn't know if that was indicative of just him or people in England, but I know there are a lot of Run Disney runners like Emma who are from England, but I think it'll be great. I did want to tell a funny story I told on the podcast, but you might appreciate this. So I was running. I was there for a birthday party, and I decided there was a nice trail. I decided to go running by myself, and I'm running, and I'm seeing bikers, and everybody is giving me strange looks and kind of moving over to the side. And then I realized that I was in England. I was running on the right side, and everybody else was. So it was like the driving. I had to move to the opposite side to run because people were looking at me like, "Why is she running that way?" So it was funny. I stopped and I just started laughing to myself. So.
Well, it can actually be dangerous over there with bikes, because they expect the runners to be on one side, a different side than we do. So next time, Michelle, be careful.
Yeah, I was only on a little trail, but you would have thought I would have figured it out like after 2 people, but this was probably 20 minutes of people giving me strange looks. So anyway,
well, we make mistakes sometimes. That's fine. And at least we get a laugh out of it.
It was funny. I'm still laughing.
We've run out of time for Jeff to answer the rest of our questions on this episode, but Jeff will be back for the next episode to continue answering your questions.
And we want you to have a good time, Jeff, at your Jeff Galloway 13-1 next Sunday, December 13th. Also, we want to give our best to Barb and wish her luck on her 5K, which is on Saturday, December 12th, and that's presented by BeCause. And if we haven't said enough at those two things, events, there is the Fit Kids Run Walk that's on Saturday. There's breakfast with Jeff and a panel discussion. There's an expo. There's a singing and contest and costume contest. You've got everything going on that weekend,
Jeff. There's the virtual run, too.
Yes.
Yes, the wonderful medal can be earned on the virtual version. So just go to jeffgalloway131.com and see that. And I will give a real thank you to my friend, Dr. Elmo, who is the writer and singer of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. He is a hoot, and he's going to be here this weekend. And he's just a whole lot of fun, adding a whole new adventure to our Jeff Galloway 13.1 weekend.
I actually saw there's an animated yes. Christmas special about yes. that song. Did you see that on TV
yes.
the other day?
Yes, I did see that. And they didn't use his voice all the way through, but he was noticeably there.
That's great.
He's a runner, by the way. He's quite a good age group track runner. He's internationally ranked.
Wow. So he's a doctor, a songwriter, and a runner.
He is wow. a veterinarian. And wow. among other accolades, he has a talk show for veterinary issues in the Bay Area in California.
Wow. Wow. I guess he doesn't work on a lot of reindeers, though. In California.
I guess they probably shy away.
Well, thanks again, Jeff.
Well, great to work with y'all, Michelle and Mike.
And so for Jeff Galloway and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. If you would like to support the Mickey Miles podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. And don't forget, if you have any questions, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.